We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen to the message of truth from God's Word.
I want to talk to you tonight on a title of Imprisoned, Defeating Habits That Put You Behind Bars. Defeating Habits That Put You Behind Bars. So we're going to talk about this, and while you're getting situated, I'm going to begin with an illustration that I read a couple of weeks ago that I was just captivated by. It's nothing new. Some of you may have heard this before, but I read a story about a man who lived in the Philippines who was an iron worker. And in the Philippines, he wasn't able to produce the type of living that he had wanted. He wasn't able to provide for his family the way that he desired. And he just struggled to be able to make ends meet. And finally, after just a long period of struggling, as the story was told to me, he received a great contract from a local police department. This iron worker was contracted to build out jail cells for the growing precinct of the Metro Manila Police Station there in the Philippines. After months and months of tirelessly working and being able to provide, the first jailhouse was finally completed, and he received his first large installment payment. And he was just thrilled. He went and did some things for his family, and he took his crew out to celebrate. And they did what often people do is they celebrate, and all kinds of nonsense ensued. They ended up at a bar until wee hours of the morning, drinking and carrying on. And as the story carries on, who I'm told is a true story, as they come out, the guy is arrested for public intoxication and for breaking curfew, which apparently was a thing during that time, breaking curfew. And so what I found was very interesting is he arrives at the police station and ends up being the very first person to occupy the jail cell that he had just built. Now, there's a lot of irony in that, and certainly a chuckle or two that we could have. But the more I thought about it, the more that I realized that this is really true of our own lives as well. We find ourselves many times in a jail cell of our own making, bars of our own habit due to behavior choices that we choose or habits we have cultivated. And sometimes it's not necessarily anything that we've done, but habits that we are reaping the benefit of in not such a good way, things that we have inherited or things that have been passed down to us, and habits that oftentimes lead to devastating consequences. Some of them that seem so very trivial. Just some hobbies and some things that just seem like they're it's just entertainment. It's just a little thing. It's not a big deal. Lots of things that happen, and these habits have a way of putting us behind bars, and we end up in a prison of our own making. A guy by the name of Samuel Johnson said this about habits. He said, "Habits are chains that are too small to be felt until they are too strong to be broken." This guy wrote the first English dictionary, if you know your history, is interesting here, but I relate very much to that, something that seems so very insignificant. There's nothing greater, truthfully, than empowering habits that lead you to a productive place and allow you to be able to accomplish business goals, that allow you to be able to help you move the needle in your family, to gain some traction and move forward, to have productive habits. There's nothing greater, but there's also nothing more debilitating in life than having things that prevent you from moving forward, that have you prevent you from living the life that God designed for you to have and the life that the potential that Jesus has in store for us. And so today, we're going to look at an Old Testament story and be helped by this, I pray, this Old Testament story, and going to examine some wicked habits that the nation of Judah had cultivated and how one man decided he was going to break the cycle of that sin and the cycle of that habit and not repeat the defeating habits that ultimately destroy and enslave us. And so we are in, if you're not already there, in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, if you haven't already turned to that passage of Scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter number 29. To give you a little bit of context while some of you are turning there, to understand the story that we're about to drop ourselves into, we have to paint a little bit of a picture to understand what we're about to read. This was a very dark period in the land of Judah. In the previous couple of chapters, as you read back and we're to look at it, there were all kinds of sinful choices that were being made by the people of God. There were people who were doing many despicable acts, horrible acts. Idols were being worshipped openly. Children were being sacrificed and being made to walk through fire. Unmentionable acts were being performed, sexual atrocities, and much more. It just seemed God's people were spinning out of control. It was just an absolute, total mess. Literally, chaos ruled the land. It was chaos, sin, nastiness, debauchery. This is what happened. And onto the scene, in the midst of this pandemonium, a 25-year-old kid, a 25-year-old guy comes to rule by the name of Hezekiah, and he comes to the throne. And this is where we pick up in 2 Chronicles chapter number 29. Are you there? All right, here we go. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. We see this here in our text. And he reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abiah, and the daughter of Zechariah. And the scripture says here in verse number 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. Now, we're going to read on here in just a moment, but it might be interesting to note that when you see a phrase such as this, according to all that David his father has done, it's important to know that David wasn't his father. I want you to know that if you understand how this is worded here, this term is used quite often in the Bible and quite often in history, really to talk about the forefathers or talk about someone who had gone before. It wasn't his dad. This really refers to somebody who was an idealistic person of yesteryear, someone that you really desired to emulate, the kind of guy that you wanted to try to be like. He would have been this person. And of course, King David was the one by which all other kings were measured. King David had just achieved so much in his kingdom. And of course, he had a passionate and personal relationship with the Lord, which is the best thing we can say about any of us, that you have a walk with Jesus Christ. And again and again and again, we can see in the scriptures, a sample of this is Psalm 63. He declares, O God, thou art my God, and early will I seek thee. And my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. He paints this picture of how he's longing after the things of God. Why? He says, because I want to see your power and your glory, such as I've seen in the sanctuary. I've tasted it before and I've seen it before, so I'm going to get up early and I'm going to seek after you, and I'm going to find ways to be able to say, I'm like I'm searching for water in a thirsty land. This is how much I long to be after the things of God. This was David's desire, and David was a flawed man, as we all are, and Hezekiah was flawed. But Hezekiah was likened unto David here in this passage. And there are so many, there's four chapters that are dedicated to Hezekiah, one of the only good kings that the nation of Judah even had, and all of the wickedness that happened in that kingdom. You contrast this, if you see what happens in verse number 2, that he did all according to the father David, and he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. If you contrast that to just turning back one page to Hezekiah's father in chapter number 28, verse number 1, Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And the scripture says there, he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord like David his father. These two different people, Hezekiah's father had allowed sinful habits to go unchecked, and it had resulted in judgment. It had resulted in some imprisonment. It had resulted in some negative things. It enslaved and imprisoned these folks, and they were on a one-way trip to a complete annihilation, just like the northern kingdom had experienced, as we'll look at here in just a moment. But as we study God's word, and we look and see, there are pathways for us to follow and examine how we can defeat traps that are of our own making, or defeat traps and habits that really are not of our own making. Hezekiah inherited a mess. A mess came into his life, and he was able to make some quality choices and be able to free the nation of Judah. So, you know, those traps that are made for us, those habits that are made for us, how can we break free of these habit patterns that lead to judgment. This is what we're going to look at today, imprisoned and how we can break out of this habit. And so if you're with me, we've got Roman numeral 1. We're going to start looking through this passage and read on here in just a moment. If we're going to defeat habits that put us behind bars and habits that lead us nowhere good, the first thing we see that what Hezekiah did is determined to change openly. This is what he did. He decided that he was going to change. As we follow the pattern of Scripture here, we find that he did all that his father David had done. He was likened unto King David. And we see the first thing that happens in verse number 3. He said, he, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Now, I just really summarized for you a lot of what happened in these previous chapters, understanding that there was a lot of wickedness, a lot of nonsense, a lot of horrible things that were happening. And Hezekiah had a lot to fix. There was a lot of things to fix. There was a lot of things to be made right. There was a lot of things to get in order. But he understood that the best thing that he could do is starting with what mattered most, and that was making things right with the Lord. Opening up God's house. And Hezekiah started with the doors that would in turn give them the ability to be able to worship the Lord their God. A renovation was needed. And the first habit that he decided to break down, the first thing that he says, you know what, I'm not going to be defined by my dad's wickedness. I'm going to choose to serve the Lord. And those doors have been nailed shut. We're pulling those nails out and we're opening the house of God and we're going to get things back right. And we're going to make this open decision that takes place. Now, we all have habits. We all have habits. We all have things that we wish we could change about ourselves, right? We all have propensities and leanings and those things that you do that you're like, why do I do that? I don't understand why I do this or why I do that and why I find myself thinking this particular way or thinking that particular way. Some of the habits we have are certainly very good and many others are not so good. And these habits, it's so important for us to see that who we are and our collective conscience and the habits and the patterns and the things that we go through, that it has a knock-on effect to other people. The habits that we have affect the team that we're on. Teams have habits. Families have habits. Things that are passed down from generation to generation. You understand, businesses have habits, churches have habits, certainly the way things are done. And a nation develops habits based off of the habits of the individuals. And Judah had some issues that really needed to be dealt with. Some wicked issues that really just needed to be extremely rooted up. And if we're honest with ourselves, we all have areas of our life that affect our relationships. They affect our business endeavors. They certainly affect our walk with Christ. They affect our family relationships. And many times they prevent us from being all that God desires for us to be. And when we know what these issues is, more than likely, if we were to ask you to write down some things that are some problematic spots for you that you need to work on, you probably wouldn't hesitate too long to be able to write 3 or 4 things as long as you knew nobody was looking on your paper, right? Here's a couple of things that I have issues with and some problems that I have, and you write them down. Far too often, though, we know we have an issue and we know we have a problem. We know we have a habit that many times leads to a very negative end, but we don't take time to really do anything about it. It's just something that we talk about. It's like, yeah, that's kind of how I am, and it's how my dad was, and it's how my grandpa was, and that's kind of how I am. And, you know, those things can end up becoming just excuses to not do anything about it. They can become just an excuse to not progress forward. Now is the time to deal with the issues and the difficulties and the problems and the challenges, to uproot the sin. This was Hezekiah's mindset of like, I've come in to be in charge and I find out the first thing we're going to do, don't pass go, don't collect $200. We're stepping out, opening the doors of the church house, and we're going to make sure there's going to be a public declaration that we're going to serve God. A public declaration. When we delay in handling issues, when we delay in taking care of things, how many of you know that it takes, the longer we wait, the harder it is to actually do what we say we're going to do. The longer we wait, it becomes something that I can wait just a little bit longer. I don't have to wait. Monday is always coming. You know, we'll do it next week. We'll do it next month. And a couple weeks ago, we were saying, we'll do it next year. And then here we are, and we're like, well, maybe later, you know. I've got a little bit of an embarrassing illustration to tell you that I have, he didn't have to put it up just yet, but he couldn't help himself. I've battled with weight issues most of my life. There was a time when I had like a 52 size pants and weighed almost 300 pounds. That's me in all my glory with a piece of cake of all things. You know, in October of 2012, I found myself with some, what was starting to be some really extreme health issues, some blood pressure problems and some, thank you for moving that. Yeah. I had some back problems. I ended up messing up my back, and I had some cholesterol. There's just a lot of things that just start happening when you start to not take care of yourself. And I remember at one point talking to my doctor who basically said, the problems that you're experiencing really are self-inflicted. Just what you want to hear, the jerk doctor, you know, telling you that you've done this to yourself. Like what you've done, the pain that you're feeling, and you know when you're hurting and when things aren't quite right, you just shut up and give me a pill. Just make me not hurt anymore. Just fix this issue so I don't have to deal with it. And I did that for a little while, and then finally a time came in October when I was completely laid up in bed. I couldn't move. My back had locked up, and I wasn't able to be in church. I wasn't able to lead worship as I was doing back then. I wasn't able to teach a class. I wasn't able to do things that I didn't. And I spent the whole day on my back. And God taught me a very valuable lesson that what I had done through the choices that I had made was made a prison for myself. Habits that lead to ruin. Habits that lead to destruction. Habits that lead nowhere good. And losing weight was something, the last thing I wanted to do, but it was something that had become very obvious that it needed to happen. And I realized very soon, as I heard one guy say, you know, I put all that weight on, right, as an act of worship to myself because of what I wanted and how I wanted to eat. But I realized very soon that I was going to take it off as an act of worship to my God. To say, you are worthy, and I'm not going to destroy my temple anymore. And no longer do I want to be defined by this and not have this habit destroy me and be at a point where I can't be there for my kids and I can't be what I need to be and I can't even serve in ministry. And I remember that defining day of like, things have to change. I remember that day, and I want you to look at Hezekiah's defining day of saying, you know what, things are going to change right now. Things are going to be different at this very moment. I want to draw your attention to verse number 3. We just read it, and I want you to think about this. When did Hezekiah deal with the needed change? When did he deal with it? You see it that it's later in the second year. The first year I'm just going to party, and the second year I'm going to really get at it. You know, he didn't say in the first year. But I'm going to have 90 days of doing whatever I want to do. But that's in the first year and in the first month. But surely I'm going to have a week or two, a few days, little cheat days. Do what I want to do first. That's what I'm going to do. But if you skip over to verse number 17, you see that it began on the first day of the first month. When did the change happen? Immediately. Immediately. And if I'm going to break out of habits and patterns that are certainly going to enslave me, then the change must take place when? Right now. The change must take place immediately. And some of us, all of us in here, we have things in our life, and some of them are visible and some of them are not visible. But there are things that need to change. And I wonder in 2019, in January of 2019, what thing is it that needs to change in your life right now? What is it that needs to be obliterated out of your life right now? What is it that needs to be cut out? What is it that needs to be added? What is it in 2019 as we look at this year and say, you know what, I'm not waiting until Monday. I'm starting tonight. I'm going to go home and have a conversation with my spouse. I'm going to go. We're going to figure it out today and not wait until tomorrow. He determined that he was going to change openly. And then I want you to notice number 2, he declared to act immediately. immediately this is what is going to happen. Hezekiah didn't waste any time getting Judah back to the worship of the true and living God. Didn't drag his feet, didn't wait anymore. I want you to look at verse number 4. Scripture says, and here's what happens. First month, first day, everybody's in, and he brings everybody together, has a little huddle. He brings the priests and the Levites and gathers them together into the east street. Everybody, get over here. Come on, let's gather all together. And he said, hear me, ye Levites. Sanctify now yourselves. Sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers, they've trespassed and done that which was evil in the sight of the Lord our God, and they've forsaken him, and they've turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and they've turned their backs, and they've shut up the doors of the porch, and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore, the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he delivered them into trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as you see with your eyes." See, there was a jail sentence looming. You see, the northern kingdom had already forsaken God, and there had already been some judgment that had happened. And he says, hey, there's a jail sentence looming, guys. There is, if we don't change, if we don't make some habit patterns, we ourselves are going to be enslaved and behind the same bars that our northern friends are behind. He says, for lo, this is what he talks about. He gives us, for lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and wives are captivity. They're in captivity for this. They're enslaved and in bondage and imprisoned. This is where we're headed if we don't change. This is the path that we're on. You see, his father and their fathers had defiled the temple. They had closed the temple. Ironically, just in the abandoning of the temple, it is exactly what happened to the northern kingdom of Israel that led them into captivity. You find a parallel passage in 2 Kings where it describes exactly what they did in more detail. It fills in some spots in 2 Kings chapter number 18. I have the verse coming on the screen, verse number 4. He says, all right, guys, here we go. This is what happened. He removed the high places, broke the images, cut down the groves, broke into pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days, the children of Israel did burn incense unto it. You see, something that was such, it was a religious artifact, and something that could have been just a great memento had become an idolatrous thing. You know, and it's sad how many times in churches we can take something that really has such sacred meaning and turn it into such a perverted thing. We can take it and really just have our way with it and turn it into something that was not designed to be at all. What was needed is a purging. You know, the removal of these idols was to, for one thing, for them to realize that there needed to be one God in Israel, one God of Judah, one person to serve. And so he comes and says, hey, we're going to tear down the high places of worship. The images were God. The brazen serpent was religious sin. God is looking for people that serve him out of a pure heart, clean hands and a pure heart. So he tells them, sanctify yourselves. It's time to get clean. And then he goes on and says, now we're going to place blame where blame is due and understand this isn't God that is doing this to us. Our fathers have done this to us, and we're doing this to ourselves, and we need to set a new pattern going forward. You know, there are some habits and addictions in our life that really are generational, right? You know, the thing that you do, you know, you have it, right? The thing you do that as soon as you do it, if your spouse is feeling brave enough, they say, that's just like your mother. You know, that's just like your father. You act, that look when that happened, that is so your dad. You have no idea. That generation, you know, that thing that you, even in your heart, you're like, it is. Doggone it. Man, I can't fight it. I can't believe it. Those generational things, something happens and the same thing that sets them off sets you off, right? Those things. Oh boy. Yeah. All those things that happen, the mannerisms, what comes out of you, and these behaviors and decisions and choices that we make, they come out of a repetitive process because we learn this behavior. We learn it from our parent. We learn it from an uncle. We learn it from a grandparent. And we mimic that behavior, and we don't even realize that we're mimicking that habit or that behavior. And many times these habits are not healthy and can become certainly destructive. But Hezekiah was the kind of leader that identified some of the bad habits in the nation. And he realized this, there are some young people. There are some young people that are coming behind and they're watching us. And just like we watched our fathers, they're watching us. And we can either repeat the sins of our fathers or we can decide to set a new trajectory for our life. We can decide to set a new pattern for our life. These things have to stop now. We have to change what's happening now. And it's interesting as you look at this, Hezekiah wasn't saying, you know, we're in this mess because of our dad. He wasn't blaming the previous administration. You understand? It wasn't, hey, the reason I am this way is because my dad's a drunk, my grandpa's a drunk, and I'm a drunk. That's just how it is. It's like, no, listen, my great-grandpa's fat, I'm fat, that's the way it is. That's how it is. You know, my so-and-so, he's a drug addict, he's a thief, I'm a thief. That's just the way it is. And it's crazy. Somewhere, someone's got to figure out that I need to own my situation. And the baton is in my hand, and I am the leader, and I am the one that is tasked with fixing this, and I can either complain about what's here, or I can be the man or the woman that rises to the occasion, and by God's grace, am able to be a change agent for the glory of God. And this is what Hezekiah was, somebody who was a change agent. And one of the things that God taught me this last year, and I put it here in your notes, because I want you to understand this, you know, it doesn't have to be your fault to be your responsibility. This was something that God taught me last year. It doesn't have to be my fault in order to be my responsibility. And the situation where you find yourself, you may not have created that mess. You may not have done, but you can certainly do your best not to push it along, not to kick it to the next person, not to sweep it under the rug. I didn't cause this problem, but by God's grace, we're going to find a way to navigate this differently. We're going to find a way to fix this. I didn't cause all this debt. That's not even my bill. But it's my responsibility to fix it. It's my responsibility to pay it. I didn't cause all this drama in my family. I didn't cause all this. It doesn't have to be my fault to be my responsibility. There's too many people today that are not willing to take ownership of their mess. There's too many families that are not willing to say, you know what, I'm going to fix this. You know, was the old President Truman who says, the buck stops here. I'm the leader. I'm the one God's put in charge. I am the one that is here in this moment. I am the one that has, and nobody is stepping up. I'm going to step up. It might be how my grandfather did things, and it might be how my father did things. But by God's grace, my son's not going to grow up and say, that's the way my dad did it too. There's going to be a change. There's going to be a change. I hope, you know, maybe there's some people here today that would be willing to say that. By God's grace, our family is going to be different. Many of you, I know your story, and that's what you've done, and you've purposed to live different than how you grew up. My dad is one of those that purposed to say, I'm not going to repeat how it is that I grew up, and I'm going to forever change it is for my family, and I don't have to repeat the cycle of sin and repeat the habits that lead to damnation and destruction. I want you to look. This is what he says in verse number 10. After he's declared, he's brought everybody together, and he says, now is my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. And he says, my sons, be not negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that you should minister unto him and burn incense. So you write this down. God loves to work in a clean work environment. He loves to work in a clean environment. We were just singing about this. Give us clean hands. Give us pure heart. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Lord, I want to be able to come before you clean. 2 Timothy, Paul talking to Timothy, says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, after he just got done naming all kinds of different sin there in 2 Timothy, he names all of these sins. He says, he shall be a vessel sanctified, holy, and meet or useful for the master's use. Clean, prepared, useful. The other day I was doing some yard work and was running out of time, and so I decided to cheat. You ever decided to cheat doing yard work? And I'm looking in the flower bed and there's weeds in there. I'm like, I don't feel like doing the weeds. I don't really want to do that. And so nobody's looking, of course. And so I just take a weed whacker into the thing, and instead of pulling the weeds, just whack the weeds and then throw a couple of bags of mulch on top of it. Hey, it's done, right? Now, how many of you know it wasn't too long before some weeds start appearing, right? These things, I mean, I found it and I'm like, I was really proud of myself in the moment, you know, but I was very superficial in what I was doing. Just doing just enough. I wanted it to look good without going through the work of actually making it good. And I remember stepping out, looking at that flower bed, and the Lord saying, that's what you do. You want to look good without actually making it good. Hezekiah said, we're going to change immediately, thoroughly, right now. We're not going to wait. He determined to change openly, just blows the doors of the temple open and decides to fix things and do it right now, the first day, first month, first year. And he not only did that, he dared to obey completely. Didn't hold anything back. Number three, dare to obey completely. I want you to look at verse number 12. We're not going to read the rest of the chapter, but I'm going to summarize it and bounce around to a little bit. I want you to look at verse number 12. So you understand what has happened to this point. Hezekiah has taken the throne. He's 25 years old. The first day, the first year, the first month, he decides to change things. He calls a huddle together and says, listen, guys, we're going to change this. We're going to fix this. God's going to be on the throne. We're going to smash these idols. We're going to put God in his rightful place. And so then the Levites arose. You know, sometimes all it takes is somebody saying, this is what we're going to do. And people are like, you know what? You're right. That's what we need to do. And there's 14 different people that moved with them. All these different names that are here. And we see in verse number 15, they gathered their brethren and sanctified them and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And scripture talks about what they did. Of course, in verse 17, saying they did it right away. And then the temple worship is restored. We find in verse number 20, the king rose up early. He gets up early and says, we're going to fix this. We're going to bring all of these animals in. We're going to have all these sacrifices. We're going to restore worship. Hezekiah says in verse number 31, answered and said, now you have consecrated yourself unto the Lord. Come near and bring the sacrifices. And of course, Pastor Chad was reading a moment ago, and the worship was restored and things that had happened, and they were worshiping. And we see there in the bottom of verse number 35, so the service of the house of the Lord was set, the scripture says, in order. And Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. On the first day of the month, they began to cleanse the temple, beginning in the Holy of Holies and in the holy place. They carried out the trash. They removed the idolatrous idols. They took it down to the valley, the scripture said, of Kidron, and they burned it. After sanctifying the building, they cleansed the porch, including removing the pagan altar that Ahaz had built, and the Levites cleansed all of the utensils and the instruments in the temple, which took a total of 16 days. There's 14 of these jokers, and it takes them 16 days. How trash this place is. 16 days. Hezekiah says, we're going to change some things. Take those nails out of that door, and it changes today. We're going to change right now. And then we're going to call this huddle together and we're going to have this immediate action, immediate call to action. And then everyone comes up and here's the call to action. I'm going to give you these things pretty quickly, all right? It says here, letter A, if we're going to make sure that we are obeying completely, then we need to cleanse our way. This is what happens here in the text. How can we obey as they did and break the sinful habit patterns? We can cleanse our way. Now, listen, I'm not, and we talk about this quite a bit, I'm not into like these 3-4 steps and that's all you need to be able to have everything that you need. But the Bible does lay out a roadmap for us. And he does lay out spiritual guideposts for us to be able to say, if you want to fix things, here's a guy who fixed some things. If you want to get out of a sinful habit pattern of your father's or habit patterns you're doing, here's an example of what you can do. And we find that one of the best things we can do is to cleanse our ways. And he tells them they need to begin with their own selves and then move up to the temple. Now, what does this look like for us? Psalm 119, verse number 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? What does this look like for us? By taking heed. According to what? According to thy word. The Bible lays out this roadmap for us and tells us, hey, cleanse your way. I'm glad God didn't make it complicated. Come unto him to confess your sins, cleanse your way. And then we find what they did next. Consecrate yourself to the Lord. If you're wanting to change some things, if you're wanting to break some sinful habit patterns in your life and things that you've inherited, cleanse your way, consecrate yourself to the Lord. This is what happened in verses 20 to 36. They took time to dedicate and sanctify and declare, we are not going to be like our fathers. We are not going to repeat their sin. We're not going to stay in that wicked thought pattern. We're not going to repeat that. We're not following through with that. We are distancing ourselves from that. If you see in verse number 6, Hezekiah recognizes the problem. He says, it's our fathers. It's what they did. But he does this very unique thing and special thing. He says, we are not going to allow the tradition to continue. It stops. We didn't start it. But we're going to stop it. We're going to set a new course. And despite the awful example his own father set, he was determined to honor God and to please him. And then we find all through chapter 30, you know what they did? They just celebrated the Lord. They worshiped him. You know, there's something beautiful that happens when you put God into his rightful place. You cleanse your way. You dedicate yourself to him. And you come to him with unhindered, unabated worship. When you come to him and your heart is clean and your life is clean and you've sacrificed and you've given, Hezekiah repaired the temple, organized the orchestral choir, set up the Levitical choir, and aside from Solomon, Hezekiah carried out the greatest Passover celebration in the history of Israel. You can read about it. It's a beautiful thing, wonderful thing. And so, for the next 29 years, Hezekiah served as one of the only good kings over this portion that we know as Judah. And we find that he wasn't perfect and he made some mistakes, and you can read about them, of course, as we all will, but he made some very wise and savvy political moves. He made some strategic moves that really outpaced the enemy of what they were doing. I mean, if you research and look at 2 Kings and understand what all was about to happen, like it was about to be over. And the right guy being in the right place, God's man doing what God's way, he embarked on many building projects. And in many ways, it is the way that his kingdom began that upended the captivity and the imprisonment that was coming. He understood something, that if they wanted to change the product of what they were getting, they would have to change their behavior. And if they changed their behavior, they'd have to change their thinking. And that means their habits would have to change. And he says, we're going to start where it matters most, at the house of God. And you know what? It worked. because prioritizing God always works. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? The scripture says, and all these things will be added unto you. If you find in 2 Kings chapter 18, this parallel passage again, I'll refer to it once again on the screen, and the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. I want you to notice in closing that an entire nation, just think about this, an entire nation was blessed because one man had the courage to confront the evil habits of his day. One man had the courage to confront. You say, well, I'm not a king and I'm not a president, I'm not a governor, I don't have that kind of authority. You'd be surprised the influence you have. And that's a cop-out, by the way. That's a cop-out. That's not owning your situation. That's not fixing things. It's just continuing to be part of the problem, and it's kicking the can down the road. That's what it is. Think about the change that you could affect in your marriage if you had the courage to confront the evil habits that are there. Just think about the change that could take place in your neighborhood if you had the courage to confront the habits that are there. Just think about the change that could take place in your work if instead of complaining about the boss, you had the courage to be able to confront the evil habits of the day. Instead of complaining about your school, instead of complaining about your family, hey, what would it be like in our city if just us in here decided we're not going to be part of the collective chorus that sings the blues? And we're not going to say, oh, our poor government leaders, and oh, this, and oh, that, and oh, this wicked day, and oh, man, everything's going so sideways, and it's really terrible. What if we just, like Hezekiah, just came up and said, I'm going to make a difference in my world, and no longer be imprisoned by negative thinking, and no longer be imprisoned by the wicked culture, and by God's grace, it may be the way that my great-granddad did it, and it may be the way my grandfather did it, it may even be the way my dad did it, it may even be the way that I've been doing it, but by God's grace, there's going to be a new day. It's going to be a new day, and I'm no longer going to be imprisoned by the evil habits of my own making and my own choosing. I'm going to choose to live differently.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons, or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.